love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and again, for reasons that should be obvious, I am doing this on video. I am going to try to make it short. The light and easy stuff first. To my joy, I did over a thousand jumping jacks today because I missed a couple days, and now I'm back up to on schedule for my making a million by the time I'm 70. So I'm well over 20,000 on the goal to a million, and I'm on schedule. So I'm pleased about that. You can celebrate with me. I might make it. But the other thing is, I talked with my friend David Toulis months now ago. And one of the things we discussed is the incident in Chattanooga, which I've mentioned before, where the nurse voluntarily, in front of the cameras, took a COVID-19 shot vaccine and fainted. And hasn't been seen since. So there's been speculation about that now for months. A number of people have done some research and show some significant evidence she's dead. But the hospital is saying, no, she's not, and we're not going to answer any more questions. I asked David about that, and he says, why aren't they forthcoming? And he said, yeah, we need somebody to actually go and physically there. He's there. He says, if I had somebody can dedicate some time to that, and simply go show up. Well, a gentleman who apparently has some video blog came to Chattanooga and did just that. He went to the hospital, and because of the fact, private property and those kind of things, he went in, did not record it, but interacted with their media relations group, and they gave him he asked the question several times in different ways, and they gave him a runaround. They said, we've made our statement, and that's it. We're not going to say any more. So the questions still linger. But David Toulis posted that video on his website, and so I watched the video, and then I thought about it, and I actually made a comment on his video. I'll include that, my comment, in the text of this email. But the issue is the hospital, Memorial Hospital here in Chattanooga, started before I was born as a outreach from a Catholic group, Roman Catholic group. So they I went and looked at their site. They still consider themselves faith-based. The thing I found interesting, faith-based, and they have investors. There's some things that are odd about that whole thing, but my comment was on David's site is, here's an organization that claims to be Christian, and Christians, I think I will contend, are clearly commanded to speak parousia clearly, openly, and boldly, and they're given a runaround. They're given a runaround on something that is a real serious concern. Because if you're advocating for the veracity, the health benefits of taking this vaccine, then you should be able to say, look, here, we had an example. We put somebody in front of the camera in order to demonstrate its safety, but we won't show them to you now. That seems to be a problem. If they are fine, if this Tiffany Dover is fine and alive and well, the excuse that we're trying to hide her, protect her privacy, when she was the one who volunteered to be on camera, there's an inconsistency issue here. And that inconsistency, especially for somebody who is faith-based, is the concern. So where does that leave? I walked out to the post office today. And to my joy and concern, I had a handwritten letter from my wife. To say I had a reaction is an understatement, because I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea how to react. So with much fear and trepidation, and with the hope of joy, I read the wonderful email, which I'm not going to read here. I did respond to her privately, but at least I am where this relates to the Tiffany Dover thing and Memorial Hospital is what they do, a quasi-religious organization, and what my wife is doing, and of course the institutional churches behind them, they're not speaking clearly, boldly, and openly. You'll notice again, as I point out, I'm trying to be unambiguous. What I saw and hear was kind of like, what are you really saying? You give me half, but not the other half. And it leaves me aching. One of the things that when I look at this letter I have in front of me, when I just see the way it's written, I recognize the handwriting. I kind of sense, you know, there's this vicariousness of sensing that my wife wrote this. That gives me a closeness, a joy that I find marvelous. My wife wrote this. It's a big deal. But to use the example, because of the Tiffany Dover example, one of the last things she mentioned, because I brought it up several times, is that apparently my family does wear the mask. And, you know, the comment about out of concern for others. I have stated several times, and the evidence continues to grow. And I will suggest the my comparison, my analogy holds firm. The masks are the armbands of 100 years ago. What was the armband? The armband you'd put around with the swastika in order to say, I'm a part of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. I'm a Nazi. Again, the Nazi is a derogatory term. They call themselves National Socialists, and they wore that armband to say, I'm a part. People wear the mask to say, I'm a part. I believe in my state. I believe in the authority of my state. It is a serious concern. Because, you know, when you look at the silencing that's going on by of those who have other perspectives, who offer evidence to the contrary, you see the big thing about in the political world, the silencing of Trump and Trump supporters and so forth by YouTube, Google, and whatnot. They simply say, you can't speak. You talk about that, you say anything about election fraud, you're gone. It's silencing of dissent. Ignoring the issue, it's the silencing of dissent that's a concern. In the same way, if you point out any evidence of the fallacy of this whole COVID-19 of the mask and so forth, you are silenced. You know, if you try to, for example, I think it's the Barrington Declaration or something of that nature, a group of some 6,000 doctors signed a document saying these are the fallacies, this is where it's wrong. Silenced. The videos they produced were removed. The various things, the plandemic, bunch of the other ones. Planet Lockdown is the one that's going to be coming out, I think, in a week or two. It's silenced because it violates the narrative. And when you offer evidence that violates the narrative, you have to be silenced. So what's happening is not that there's a rational debate whether or not masks are good, masks are bad, whether the vaccines are good, the vaccines are bad, or whether or not, and of course the PCR test, which is demonstrably stupid, it does not detect COVID-19. But to use it for this so-called case-demic, you have all this lying going on, and the authorities say we need to protect people. And so when my family says, oh, because the authorities say, they're putting on the armband. you know, one of the reasons I don't wear the mask is when I take a hike, if I wore a mask, I would probably faint. Because one of the issues that happens is it reduces the oxygen intake that you get. And I know of descriptions of people who, because of the fact they were doing something semi-dangerous but required to wear a mask, they have accidents, including at least one death. Then, of course, you have the vaccines. There are over 1,000 people dead already from the vaccines. I mean, literally. It's at least 500 in the U.S., probably more. I don't know the latest numbers. And then hundreds and hundreds all over. U.K., I just saw a report, 200 and some already in the U.K. alone. And we say, we want this, or is it genocide? Now, if I say that, you're going to say, oh, hyperventilating. Really? Really? And the idea that it's love to wear a mask, it's like saying, it's, I got to think of a good example, but you know, it would be, anyway, it's not love. To promote somebody to do something, because the self-harm, you know, we look at the deaths, the majority of deaths, I mean, that are attributed to COVID-19, some 80-90% are people who are older than me and in ill health or obese. And a huge percentage of those people who have been hospitalized or died were wearing masks. You have decades of studies that show masks are completely ineffective to stop the spread of virus. The evidence is there. Even the CDC publishes some of it. But they draw different conclusions because the objective is you're supposed to listen to authorities. The authorities who have demonstrably lied to you all your life. The line from the CDC alone, besides so many other things within the governments, U.S. and otherwise, the line of the CDC alone on the various previous viruses, Zika and Ebola and swine flu and whatnot, you know, where especially, was it swine flu where the vaccine caused more deaths than the flu? And you have a system in this country where the vaccine producers cannot be sued. When you say, okay, I've been damaged or died because of the vaccine, the lawsuit is paid by the government, by your tax dollars. This is a scam beyond measure. So you put all those things together and you say, well, this time it's different. This time we gotta work together to stop this dreaded virus. Again, but we don't look at the evidence. You know, the total death count domestically, a whole lot of countries, and U.S., there's no spike from 2020 to 2019, 2018, so forth. There's no spike. In essence, there's no pandemic. But you live in fear. It's a concern because your allegiance is to the institution, which is like your allegiance to the institution of the institutional church and the institution of the state. You put the state over the Lord when it comes to the definition of marriage. Put the state, the institutional church, you know, the institutional church who says, oh, you know, separation of church and state, but we're going to use a state to send the police to shut me up. Remember, many of you did that. And they do not admit it. That's what a coward does. That's what a coward does. Remember, I'm being unambiguous. It's an unloving, cowardly act that MediView has done with repeated attempts. Please, I want to reconcile with you. And their answer is no. This is pride. This is pride to the max. You know, when it comes to things like how can somebody, you know, go back to the jumping jacks thing. Do you know how many people who are 65 or older can casually do 1,000 jumping jacks in the day? How many young people can do that? And these aren't poor form. These are solid jumping jacks. It's not the no, I mean, very, very solid form. Because I don't follow the recommended practices by the medical community. I take care of myself. I'm a student of myself, as I've said to my kids repeatedly. So the objective there is not to simply follow what the crowd does, but what is accurate. That's why I search the scripture to see if these things are so. When I look at the proclamations from institutional churches, and I often find out they're not so. You know, the tithe, the elders, the institutional church, all those things which I've argued many times, they're not so. They've twisted the scripture. So in the same way, the masks are the same thing. The institution of the state, the medical community, has lied to you. That's why, depending upon what numbers you find, about half or often more than half of the medical community says, I don't want the vaccine. I've seen it saying true of the military, don't want the vaccine. A whole bunch of people say, I don't want the vaccine. But it's being imposed, and they're using the technique of scarcity. It's a marketing technique. It's not because it's scarce. It's a marketing technique in order to make people say, okay, I don't want it, but it's scarce, so I better get it while I can. It's marketing. It really is. You know, and I've also given the example, if reconciliation occurs, and my kids especially, you know, the kids that I would have still authority over, that I'm still supposed to have authority over because I am the dad, but that's, you know, it's biblical stuff. We don't want to do that. If my wife has provided cell phones for my kids, they're gone. Because, again, this is the blind submission. I don't have a cell phone on purpose. Again, those two purposes. One is because it's a spying device. Unequivocally, it is a spying device. Big time. But the second thing is, look what it's done to our culture. You know, I mentioned where 2 weeks ago, I think it was, when I talked with these two young guys on the Greenway, one of the things we talked about is how culture is changing in their generation, late teens, early 20s. And it is the mindless, blind submission, the entitlement mentality, and so forth. I wanted point my kids to the veracity of Scripture and give them reason why it's true. Point my kids to a model of obedience to Christ. Point my kids to what it is to love, not love institutions. Love the Lord and loving your neighbor by actually interacting with your neighbor without a shield in front of you, shaking hands, and not investing in institutions, but investing in people. Invest in people who can't pay you back. I want to give them that model. Because the culture they're in has no idea what it is. The institutional church doesn't point them to that. I got a letter today from my wife. I look at that handwriting and I just melt. But I see marketing in a lot of what was said. A lot of times when I would talk with my wife, I would have to drive out of her thoughts. I still want to do that. I want to do that in dialogue because I want to know her. But I want to make it unambiguous. I'm in love with my wife. There has been no one before her. There'll be no one after her. She's my one and only lady. I'm in love with her. I'm only pursuing reconciliation without retribution. I want to restore the family. Exactly what George said a year and a half ago now. He wants the family back again. Well, so do I. It was hopeful in a sense. This is the first letter I've seen from my wife in years. Dorothy Jane, get on the phone, call me. Let's talk, please. I'm your husband. I committed my life to you. You committed your life to me. And I love you.